It's a big one.
You could call it that. Iowa State Week is here. Always a great rivalry game. Doesn't matter how good these teams are or not good they are. It's going to be a one-score ball game. You're signing up for an edge of your seat, anxiety-inducing matchup that Iowa usually wins, but it feels like a coin flip every single year. We're going to talk about that plus a whole lot more. Let's have a day. Let's go.
I was like, what?
Don't you feel like that? But don't you feel like that should be a response to, like, when you see Coach Ferentz, you're like, oh, fuck yeah. Maybe not as it may come off a little bit more sexualized when you just put it out of context. But anyway, welcome into the podcast. I kind of like hitting the record button and then just picking up in the middle of our conversation. And then people just kind of jump in, you know, where we're at. We're just discussing new merch ideas as we start the Iowa State preview show for tonight. How are you guys doing? How the fellas doing tonight, huh?
Fantastic.
Good. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm great. I feel like Grant is maybe, you know, we know you're the resident football guy on this podcast, right?
I think we're all part of a football show. Like, we're all football guys.
We're a football show. We're, you know, maybe relative to your average person, we're probably all football guys. You know, we've talked about how I'm not necessarily the biggest football fan.
Sure.
You like to bring up that I am a Nebraska volleyball fan. Tough night last night, by the way.
Yeah.
Did they drop a game?
Well, tough for who?
For Nebraska volleyball fans.
It was great. Great night for great night for me. I was for
America. Great.
Yeah,
night for America.
Everyone else was doing great. I'm sure.
They did drop one, Kev.
Former President George W. Bush was probably thrilled.
When Nebraska loses, it's a win for everybody else.
He's an SMU fan. That's why I was.
Oh, is did he? He didn't
well, they only have a library named after him in the.
But good for him, Kev. They dropped one, and it was pretty embarrassing. They lost to a non-ranked team. And they didn't even win a set. They went 0-3 against SMU. I would liken that to, what would that compare to in college?
Yes, talk to me in football terms.
Yeah. I'm going to try and put it in football terms. I'm going to say,
can I take a stab at it?
I'm going to say that's Oregon losing to Iowa State. God, probably not even Iowa State. That's like Oregon losing to Maryland 30-10.
Would you say it's like maybe like a top five Ohio State losing to like an Iowa, maybe
55-24.
Yeah, something like that. Yes, a score kind of like that. Would you say it's like that?
I would actually, Grant, that's actually a fantastic comparison. It is very, very much so the result of what we did to Ohio State in 2017. You're spot on with that. I don't even
that's where you were going to go with it.
No, I was trying to.
I thought we were building into. I was trying to lay up you there. It's fine.
Well, I was. My mind went immediately towards modern day, like this year. But no, you're right. You're absolutely right. That is like the unranked Hawks coming off an absolute ass pounding at Penn State. No, that was 2016. What did we do the week before Ohio State our senior year?
We beat Minnesota 14-7.
Barely. Yeah.
Yeah. I believe we lost to Northwestern. No, that bye week before that, lost Northwestern the week before that.
God, we had some bad losses that year.
Yeah.
Unfortunate. One of those was not Iowa State, though. Had a very exciting win at Iowa State in Ames.
Probably should have lost that game.
Oh, yeah, multiple times. There were several instances where we probably...
Well, I think we started up up big early, and then... They went on a run, and then we were in real trouble in the fourth quarter.
Did we win that game 44-41?
We won that game 45-42, I believe. Or no, 44-40. We won by three.
That is so many points, Kevin. For an Iowa State game, that is so many points.
Yeah. Defense did not have a great day. Our old boy JG got a few thrown over the top of him.
Yeah, he did. Oh, man. Tough day for
him. He bit hard on a dig, and the guy just turns it upfield, and he's 15 yards past him when he catches.
Oh, yeah. There was nobody. Yeah.
44-41, by the way.
44-41.
Yeah.
The over-under for this week set at like 35 or 36. I don't know what it's at right now. We'll find it later in Ward's winners. But I don't think this year is going to see 44-41.
I don't think people saw that year it was going to be 45-41.
Oh, you're probably right. I'd love to know the actual line for that year because I imagine it wasn't – I guarantee it wasn't over 50. There's no way. We kind of scored points though back then.
So coming off 2016, offense wasn't great, but it was okay. First game versus Wyoming, I think we put up 30-something probably. So
yeah, yeah.
It's probably a respectable over-under. It's probably in the 40s, I'd say.
It was.
Definitely wasn't 85 or whatever.
No. Dude, I was looking at some of the stats just because once games actually start to happen and everybody has a game under their belt, it's fun to go to the NCAA website. I know there's actually – I think it's sportsreference.com. I don't know what you use, Grant. I'm sure there's a better website out there. But you go to like the – now the stats that everybody has. Dude, Kev, Ole Miss, bro, they had like 1,700 yards of offense and 10 touchdowns.
So I got a Heisman bet on their quarterback.
Okay.
And their star receiver that pay out pretty damn good odds just because that's what the offense is going to do.
Who's their quarterback?
Jackson Dart.
Great quarterback name too.
God, that's an amazing quarterback name.
He's a very handsome dude too.
So is he?
That I feel like that helps with reporters and the voting process. Yeah.
So this guy does well around campus.
I can only imagine.
Former Big Ten legend, Jackson Dart.
And then Trey Harris is their star receiver. I think he might be a future first rounder. I think he had 3 touchdowns game one, but I got a $5 bet pays out $1,500 to win the Heisman.
Oh, man. Oh, that might be in play.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth the $5, right?
Absolutely.
You put up 3 touchdowns week one.
Speaking of bets, we are going to get to some Iowa State talk tonight, but, you know, we got a full episode to fill. We don't have Searles with us this week, so there's plenty of room for conversation here. A couple awesome things. First of all, what I was going to mention there was somebody put one of their it was a bet on NFL, and I believe it was an anytime touchdown score for every week of the season, and it was a different guy every week of the season, and 76 cents paid out like $356,000 or something like that.
Okay, now here's the question. Why don't you just do the full dollar? Are you really short the 24 cents?
I don't know. That's a good question. It was like a
because what that extra 24 cents is going to get you what? Another I can't do the math.
It would have, yeah, you probably would have put you like 500 grand. Yeah.
Probably more than 24 cents.
When you start seeing those kind of odds, that's when you go from like a dollar to like $3. You're like, I mean, if I'm going to do this and
well,
this is
you're at $3, you might as well do $5.
You might as well throw
You might 10. As well do 20. You might as yeah. well
And this is how it happens. 1-800 bets off. Let's make sure everybody in the listening and watching at home bets responsibly. Although we don't have a sponsor. If you are part of a betting company, we'd love to take your money. I mean, we will sell out.
And we won't tell people to bet responsibly. But
correct. And we'll tell them to bet unresponsibly only on your website and platform. But we appreciate you guys being here. Sign up for the Patreon if you want a little extra. Grant and I are doing a little taglines extra show. You got no F's given Tyler yesterday as I was coming off the flu, and we were just talking about crazy football. Stuff. Yeah, we did talk about football.
Yeah, certain Twitter accounts being held accountable.
Right, and I think like a week or two before that, we were talking about whale juice.
Because Robert Kennedy's
stories from RFK's past. We get into some interesting kind of current event, just random topics over there. It's fun. The biggest thing is that you get to support the kids, and we are coming up on that donation here in 3 months when we send our yearly donation to the kids for Christmas. Again, we'll be passing $50,000 this year as a, I guess, a company or a business, a brand. I like to call us a brand more than a business or a company. And that is because of people like you. And we've had several people recently sign up that are absolute legends. A couple shout outs to Matt, Chad, and we just got another one right before this podcast that I wanted to shout out. Michael, Chad, and Matt. Thank you guys for being part of the Patreon. Got a few new faces in the Discord. Discord's been lively the last couple days. Obviously, that comes with the season picking up as well. Discord is one of the perks you get as one of the Patreon members, as well as ad-free listening, early access to the episodes, depending on how early we record them, and merchandise discounts. So your choice. Great way to support the kids. Great way to make a little yearly donation. Feel good about yourself. By the way, if you'd be interested from something from the store, there it is right there. Little QR code in the corner. So anyway, let's talk football.
Oh, good.
Grant?
Football.
Oh. Somebody at our show thought that you were a former Division I fullback.
Which is, I think that's the highest compliment a man can receive.
Did someone think he was Drake?
Yeah. So for those that didn't come by the live show last week, Van Halen, the I don't even know what you'd call them, the cover band, but they don't really they cover, I don't know what they do. They change the words to make them Hawkeye branded, but they're using old songs. And they came by. One of their members is a strong Walk-On Army member, Patreon, all that. The others, not so familiar with us. I don't even think they're from around Iowa, maybe. I don't know. It's cool. Not everybody knows who we are. To be honest, most people shouldn't know who we are, if we're being completely fair.
Statistically, like, vastly more people don't. Like, it's
99.99% of people have no idea who we are, and that's good. Kevin wouldn't have a job, probably. So these guys weren't exactly sure who we were, and so he was trying to explain. And at the time, Grant, you and Drake were both sitting in the middle. Mm-hmm. And he described the guy in the middle as the fullback. Mm-hmm. And they thought they were talking about you, and then later asked, okay, but who's the guy with the long hair and the tattoos?
Right.
And he then made that connection of, oh, they thought when I was describing these guys that Grant, the 5'8", 180-pound producer of the show, was actually a former Division I fullback who was just filling gaps and blocking for Division I running backs.
To be fair, we had a few short fullbacks in our day. I think the funnier thing is someone took a look at Drake. He's like, there's no way this guy played for KF.
That guy certainly was not allowed on the team.
Which is valid. It's probably a valid thought.
He was only wearing a Brian Ferentz gang or die shirt, but no chance.
Not available on our store, but maybe should be. We could probably make that happen.
After hanging out with Drake over the weekend, I'm going to be honest, I really want one now.
A Brian Ferentz.
Brian Ferentz gang or die shirt.
We can make it. We can make it. I mean, it's not hard to print. It's actually one of the easier ones to print.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Grant. You're not only Coach Grant this year on your NCAA 25 Dynasty, you're also fullback Grant. So you might want to create a – I don't know what they call that when you're your own player on NCAA.
Yeah. It's road to glory.
Road to glory. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. But no, hey, you know, been working out a little bit. Appreciate someone throwing me in there. And I don't know. Hey, I've always said if Coach needs a yard, needs 2 yards, I'll get it for him. If Coach asks for it. So, hey.
I'll be honest, Grant. If we need a yard, you're not the first guy I'm going to.
I'm not. But in this circumstance, if Coach asked me, I'd put on the neck guard, the big giant one, and I'd run out there.
The one that Coach Woods wore?
Yeah.
And Coach Woods wore a huge I think he was wearing special pads. He was wearing like a bookshelf. It looked like Kevin in the bookshelf behind him. That's what Coach Woods ran around like. It was unbelievable. I don't even think they make these things anymore. I honestly miss those days. Oh, man. But you're probably feeling great. I mean, we are full swing, Grant. We are now – every single team has played a game. Some have played multiple games. We talked about FSU on the Patreon podcast and how they are just a dog shit program.
You know how crazy it is to be 0-2? After week one,
it's pretty crazy. Like, it's hard to do.
It's tough.
It's hard to do. You know,
impressive.
Yeah. No, it's a good time of year, though. You got a plus NFL is today or tomorrow.
Tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow. Just trying to put in the tense of the listeners for Thursday release, but football's here.
Today, as they hear this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's full swing. And speaking of that, Grant, you've got a top 25, right?
I did. Yes, I did. I did make a top 25.
Could you pull that up?
Yeah, hold on.
Let's discuss that. We're going to get to the Iowa State stuff. If you guys have been around or know anything about the Wash-Up Walk-Ons, yes, we played football. We did lose Drake, who was our offensive side of the ball guy. I wouldn't call him the most X's and O's. You know, he knew the X's and O's, but I would put Kevin maybe above him on the actual knowledge of football. Kevin can give you some great stuff, but we aren't the break down the X's and O's kind of podcast. We're just sort of the shoot the shit kind of entertainment podcast that also throws in some talk about the games. We'll definitely break down the games and our thoughts on what happened. We don't love projecting things that are going to happen. And I think that just comes from knowing that it's impossible to do and almost a waste of energy and time. So we'll talk about Gary's top 25 here. I'd love to get Kevin's thoughts on this. Just some initial thoughts on the on who Gary has placed into his top 25 teams, which is, by the way, more important. It's been said that this is more esteemed than the AP poll.
That's so, what people are saying. And this is, right. I will say, the early ones are so hard to make because, like, I don't know how to compare Ole Miss's 73-point blowout to, like, Alabama's 52-point blowout. So, like, there's only a few teams that have played, like, teams.
73 is more than 52.
It is, but it's like, I don't know if we had Furman and Western Kentucky on a neutral field. You know,
I guess the question is Western Kentucky minus 20 in a line versus Furman. And then
it might be a line, honestly.
If the answer is yes, then I guess you can put Alabama above them. If the answer is no, then Ole Miss should be above them.
That might be a little deep for this, but I think early on it's not as important to get it exactly right. You know, first thing I see, Grant, is Hawks in the top 20, 19. I think in the AP poll, they're 21st, and in the coaches poll, maybe 21st. So yeah. You have them slightly ahead. What you just is that a little homer bias there? Is that a
maybe? I don't know. And again, it's week two. Like, I think the difference between 18 and 24 isn't that big right now. Week two, like, there's a lot of moving around going on, but
this is true.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought we did better than I thought they were going to do. Like, I don't know if you asked me on Friday, like, are we going to get 40 points, and I'd be like, I'm not sure. Like, I don't know.
No, I would have told you no.
Yeah,
just say that right now.
So I was impressed. Like, I'll be honest. So I put them up there. Some people thought still too high, but I feel like every time Iowa jumps out a little too early, it doesn't go super great. And so I'm holding them a little bit back.
We want a mountain to climb here for sure.
I want a slow projection.
Yeah, we want to slow roll this, as they would say.
So after week one, those are the top 12 teams that you think are most deserving. So let's say it's a 1 week season. You're going to put those 12 teams in the college football.
Where's Colorado, Grant?
They did not. They're maybe around like 35.
Okay. All right.
If I'm being honest.
Deion and the Buffs didn't make it, huh?
I was considering, and this is a different, I was considering doing just like ranking all 130. Just making a huge graphic, but
Jesus
that was
Christ.
Exhausting.
That sounds boring.
It's probably the only one out there with that graphic. So,
can you give me just as a refresher for the season? Because I do believe we did this last year. Can you give me like a cliff notes of your criteria of how you rank these teams? Because I just look and I see Georgia at number one, sure. Right? And I immediately think, well, they're just for the last 2 to 3 years, they've just been consistently the best team.
And they also just dog walked Clemson last week. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That too. Although I think Dabo and them are falling off.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet To Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
This is Leah Pesha, and I've been saying, hit a deer, call Premier, for years, but it's time for something new. It's still where you need to go for deer divots and door dings, as well as damaged dashboards. That's what my dad Nathan's driving at and dreams about. Why not say, when your car is dinged, be a deer and call Premier? I think Dad's going to love that. Premier Automotive, North Liberty's premier auto body repair shop.
Be a deer and call Premier Auto Body in North Liberty.
Well, they're definitely not the powerhouse they were for there for like from like 2015 to 2019.
Yeah.
No, it's very different.
So what is the criteria?
Criteria is it's kind of a mix of like A, like, and week two is a little different because we still don't really know a ton about all these teams, like after one game. Like in the week two criteria, a little bit of it is like still a little bit of preseason stuff, like guys like potential in there, right? Like if it was the week one poll, like no one's played a game. It's just like a guess, really.
Right.
So like there's still a little bit of that going in. Like I didn't learn a ton about Ole Miss after 73-0, if I'm being totally honest. Like
I don't know. You learn that they can score some goddamn points.
They're going to cover a lot of spreads. And
right.
That's what you learned.
Right. And then two is like just my eyes, like just like my gut, like how I feel. It's like, okay, like Penn State really impressed this weekend. Not a lot of people got them up in the top five, but I do just because my eyes told me I was impressed.
As this moves on and you have more to go off of as far as tangible games,
sure,
evidence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Will this morph further into these are my 1 through 25 best teams, as in one would beat everybody on a neutral field, two would beat everybody except for number one, three would beat everybody except for number one and two, or is this does resume also count a lot for this as it does in the AP?
Resume counts a ton. Yeah.
Okay. And so it's like, not purely a, I guess what you would call it, a power ranking.
No, this is, it's a poll.
Okay.
It's like kind of like, it's a little bit almost like, I don't know if you can really do it with the 12 team playoff, like a little bit of like bracketology, like in college basketball, a lot of it's like resumes. Like there's a lot of teams in here. It's like, I don't know if I 100% believe that, like, let's say, Kansas State is that much better right now than LSU, but it's like one team won, one team lost. So like one team had a drop, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like just a little bit of it is just like who's deserving right now.
LSU, your highest team with a loss on the poll.
I believe that is true. Yes.
Yes. At 17, still ahead of the Hawks.
Yeah. And again, it's just like deserving. I didn't want to punish. Like they played a great game. Like I was proud of just both teams.
How close? I don't know how far out you went. I know you consider doing all 130. How close would Nebraska and Iowa State be in this?
I'm gonna be honest. I didn't even really consider Iowa State for the. I don't know if that's very disrespectful. Leading
into that's actually perfect for this week.
I don't know. Like Nebraska's probably somewhere in like the top 30-ish. Maybe I don't know.
I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch that Nebraska game. Kev, did you?
No, I did not watch any of the Nebraska.
I hate to say it, but I think the Rayola kid is pretty legit. Just watching him spin it. He actually had one throw that was like, oh shit, that kind of looked like Patrick Mahomes. He like contorted his body and like threw it was like the sidearm flick going out to the right. It was pretty impressive for an 18, 19 year old kid. He looked pretty good, and I understand it was UTEP, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good. They're going to be – I think they – after talking last week with Searles, I think they'll definitely make a bowl game. And
sure.
And they're always that
– Yeah, schedule's favorable, especially if they pull one out this week versus Colorado.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. That's going to be one of the – just because the –
Here's a question I got for Grant. You know, you got 25 teams up here. How many of these games did you actually watch?
A good amount I saw briefly. I think the only team I really saw like truly nothing was Kansas State because it was on ESPN Plus. Like I didn't see a single play the whole time. It was probably Kansas State.
Nice.
I don't know. Like nice. It was on ESPN Plus. I have no clue what happened. They blew out like UT Martin, I want to say.
So you watched some of the Ole Miss Furman games, what you're telling me?
Yeah, no, I saw clips online. Yeah, like I've seen stuff. Yeah,
okay.
Like they could have won that game 50-0 or the 73. Like they would have been probably at 7 regardless.
Kev, I think that's honestly a good question to ask any of the AP voters. Like,
well, most of them it's going to be no because they're at the game of their home team for 8 hours.
Unless you just spend all week watching last week's games and you just have four going at
it'd be impossible.
Yeah,
Like each game is
it's genuinely impossible to be really dialed in on more than just one conference. Even just being dialed in on the Big Ten with how many freaking teams there are
now—it's so tough.
It's so hard. Grant, it gets a little easier once league play comes around because obviously everyone's playing each other. But it's just a lot of football to digest.
Grant and I decided we're going to try and do a little once we get into the Big 10 slate,
Big 16 slate,
the Big 18. We're going to try and do like a comp. Oh, wow. You're wearing the shirt. Wow. Oh, yes. That's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have one of those.
Got to represent. I'm a conference man.
Yeah, you are. We're going to try and do like a Big 10 power ranking, and that's going to be tough.
By the way, is that we're bringing our own ranking or we're agreeing on one ranking?
I think you and I do a composite where we both bring our weekly ranking, and then somehow we just average we average the two, and that becomes our composite ranking.
Sure.
Okay. So if you're into that and you want to join the Patreon, amongst all those other reasons I talked about, patreon.com/washedupwalkons. Thanks for supporting the kids. Yeah, I like this, Grant. It looks beautiful. I don't even know. Did you? I don't think you posted this on Instagram.
I don't think you made it to the Instagram. No.
You should. You should. You're allowed. You're allowed to.
Oh, thank you.
Want to shout out anybody who caught the show yesterday when you're listening to this, the show with David Eicholt. We recapped Coach Ferentz's press conference. General assessment of Coach Ferentz at the podium this week was he was very much so happy to be back in the building, does not like watching games from home, but did have a little bit of fandom come out of him. He said he gave a cheer a couple times. Mary kind of noticed. He didn't know that, you know, Mary caught him cheering when we went for a big gain on one play.
Well, I thought it was so funny when the press conference, I believe he described the situation with the start of the second half where Mary is like scared to cheer from like the other room or something about the game. It's hilarious.
Kev, I was thinking about this, just knowing who KF is, and like, can you imagine KF cheering for the Hawks like on his couch?
Man, I thought it didn't really cross my mind. What are you?
I'm talking like down to the details, like his facial expression, his demeanor. Like, is he seated forward? Is he leaning back?
There's no way he's just like laying on the couch.
Is he standing up? Like, you know, like, is he pacing?
If I know him, he probably has like a setup and he's probably taking notes during the entire game.
He did say that he had a hard surface to write on.
Yep.
So he absolutely was taking notes. Mm-hmm. It just kills me to think of Coach Ferentz in like this sense of like, you know, Caleb breaks off his long touchdown run, and he goes, "Oh shit, Caleb, oh, good shit, okay, all right, here we go." And there's nobody there, but he's just sitting on the couch, like light, you know, golf clap, like, "All right, let's catch a little fire here, all right, boys, okay."
I don't know, man. KF can get fired up when he wants to, and if there's no one around, I can see him giving out like a "Let's go." Like,
I'd love to hear it, dude. You know what fired me up, Kev, is they put a little. I think they called it on YouTube. It was like the blast cut or something funny like that. It's like the quick cut up. It's like 1 minute of highlights from the game. The smash cut, Iowa football smash cut, Illinois State. You can go find that on the Iowa Hawkeyes YouTube channel. And it's just the highlights from the game. And they got, you know, it's close ups of Vander Zee and everybody coming off celebrating and highlights from, you know, just on the field. In-house video team, and at the beginning of the video they have a little bit of Coach Wallace. You can tell, if you know, you can tell it's Coach Wallace before they left to go to for the Swarm, and he's, oh man, it sounds good, man. It sounds really good. If I play it, we'll get flagged on here and it'll like flag our video, but I encourage everybody to go listen to that. I got fired up, juiced up today watching that, just like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I'm ready to run through a brick wall because I got a little taste of what this Coach Wallace pregame speech was like, talking about having an opportunity, going and getting after their ass. Oh my God, it was unbelievable. Kevin, you would have been fully tented. Okay, we're going to do awards winners, obviously, at the end of the show. I got to pull that up in the background here and figure out some picks. But before we get there, Let's talk this week's game. Let's do a little bit of conversation here. Always a tough one. This is never one that we can just walk into and say, you know what? Even in the years where Iowa State's been a bad team, there have been years where I think we beat Iowa State by less than a score. They go on to win four games, embarrass themselves in the Big 12 slate. But that Iowa-Iowa State game, the Cy-Hawk rivalry, is just always so close. Kevin, why is this true? Why does this happen?
I think you typically get the.
Why can't we just beat their ass?
You're just going to get a lot of guys' best games this game. For some reason or another, whether it's the rivalry or the atmosphere, it's like everyone's all juiced up. No one sleepwalks through this game, and I don't know. It's a very fun game to win, and it's a game that really sucks to lose. So
I'm glad we went 4-1. I'll say that.
That one really hurt.
That one hurt bad.
Hurt bad.
It is funny because I have a personal life moment that is very attached to that day that made that day a little bit better for me, but I'm not really going to go into it because it's very weird. I'll tell you guys after the show. You guys might already know. But I just think about the feeling of them running onto the field. Because that's the worst part, Kev. A lot of this isn't so much about how much you like winning. It's about how much you hate losing.
Right, yeah.
Very often that is the competitor's mindset. It's like, I don't care so much about the winning. Very often, the best competitors in the world are bought into the grind. They love training. They love the journey. The peaks, the accolades, the awards, the trophies, the medals, those aren't what you do it for. You love putting in the hours, blood, sweat, and tears, busting ass, knowing that you're doing more than the opponent. And that is going to signify with a win, in this case, in football, more points on the scoreboard at the end of the game, that you are better than them. That's what you want people to know. And when we play a trophy game, Iowa State, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Nebraska, and you lose that game, and they run across the field, especially if it's your field, and it was for us in the one Iowa State loss that we had. God damn it, is that embarrassing. That one hurts. Do you remember the specific emotions of that, Kev? Do you like walking across the field, shaking any hands, walking?
No. That was it's very rare in my 5 years at Iowa that I didn't shake hands, even when we lost trophy games and such. That was one of the ones where straight to the fucking tunnel.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Wow.
I think that's one of like maybe three games out of the 60 that we played that didn't shake hands.
Wow.
Yeah. Straight to the fucking tunnel.
And I don't blame you for that, because that was probably a hostile Kevin Ward. Probably better that you just went to the tunnel.
You know, I actually remember this one pretty well. There were some, you know, it was our second year in the program, and there were some older guys, seniors, that they just ran up the tunnel. I was like, I'm just going to follow them. And didn't swarm back in with the team. And then Mark came in and, like, chewed us out pretty good, which was well-deserved.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not gonna throw the seniors who I followed up the tunnel under the bus, but
I bet I could name them if I started taking a guess.
You can put it in the chat if you want.
Yeah, I might try that just to have some fun. Wow. Kevin Ward, a young Kevin Ward, just not swarming the tunnel after a loss. That's the kind of emotions that this game provokes.
Yep.
I think that people always ask about how do you get up for this one? How is it different? It's got to be different. It's the in-state rivalry, especially if you're an Iowa kid or you buy into that Iowa-Iowa State rivalry. And we always say you don't prepare any differently. Every week is the next most important game. It's the only thing that matters. But afterwards, when the clock strikes zero, it is just a little sweeter or a little more sour.
So, yeah, the preparation all week's no different. From the end of the previous game until the kickoff of game, nothing changes. But at the end of the game in the locker room, the wins are just a little sweeter and the losses are a lot worse.
Yeah, I would say like 10 times worse.
Yeah. It's not just the fact that you hate losing, because all competitors hate losing. You put all that time and effort and then you lose. It fucking sucks. It's that you lose to people in a fan base and a program that you just fucking hate. Like, I hate the idea of Iowa State football players and Iowa State fans being happy. I don't want them to be happy ever. I want there to be zero happiness in Ames, Iowa. I would sell Ames, Iowa to Nebraska if I could.
Wow. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
That's going to have to be one of the clips, by the way, what Kevin's short little. So write that.
I don't know if they'd buy him. Would you buy him?
I bet Nebraska would buy a couple of the Iowa State players. I know one that they would buy. Well, maybe not, because Nebraska's got a very veteran defense as well. But one of the players that's going to be out for Saturday, their stud linebacker. I was told by Eicholt today in our KF Press Review show that their linebacker that went out first quarter last weekend and is now going to be out for most of the season, he was coming into the year like number three on the big board for the upcoming draft at linebacker. Like, he was that good.
Damn.
He was like as important to their team as Jay Higgins is to our team. So that's a big loss. I like where you're at, Kev. I also don't like
you're an Iowa State apologist. Don't try to.
That's not true. Don't put that on.
I think you've said multiple times that you cheer for. You would rather Iowa State win in other weeks. Like,
I would. But only because
that's crazy. That's crazy.
I want them to go.
What? You want them to go? You want us to beat them?
I want them to lose so badly year in, year out that they just fold in the program.
Bro, with some of the schedules that we've had this year included, them being a good win on our schedule means something. And I know that sucks.
Still, and I know you're right about that. I 100% agree with you. But at the same time, fuck them, okay?
I knew that was coming. Okay, holy shit, all right. I don't care if it was a good win or a bad win. All right.
Fuck them. Fucking Mickey Mouse operation going on over there.
Oh my God. Oh, at least the people at home listen to this one and enjoy it. Yeah, I get it, man. I get it. I don't cheer for them to win because I want them to experience winning. I really don't. And it's that thing where they're 2 hours from Iowa City. They're a lot of the same kids that chose the other school. It's like Slytherin and Gryffindor, right? Like, you're all at the same school, but you chose the dark side. And they probably think the same of us, guys who went to Iowa, that you chose the dark side. But it's like, you hate the people who are most like you. And that's true in a lot of places.
No.
Yes.
No.
I don't know about this.
Yeah, you do. But they made one different decision. They're like, I don't like what you're about.
Okay. I don't follow recruiting whatsoever, but how many of the guys do we like on their team has Iowa offered and they chose Iowa State over Iowa? I feel like, one, we don't recruit a whole lot of the same guys except for in-state guys.
Yeah. That would be very true, I think. I don't think outside of the state of Iowa, the recruiting offers to kids are very similar at all. In-state, I think basically if you're looking at the top 10 or 12 guys in-state every year, I think both schools pretty much always offer them. Maybe it's the top like 8. But I would say – I don't know the answer to that. We'd have to ask Eicholt. He would probably have the exact number. But I know this. More in-state guys choose Iowa than they choose Iowa State. Like, that's pretty standard, and I think it's a wide margin. I want to say, like, out of the top – I want to say if you've got the top 10 ranked Iowa kids who play football, I would say 7 choose Iowa and 3 choose Iowa State each year.
And those 3 are probably Iowa State fans growing up for some reason. Maybe.
There's a chance.
Again, I don't follow recruiting, but is it really just a choice? Because I feel like – You know, maybe a bunch of, hey, Iowa didn't offer me, so they still.
Are you basically trying to say that the kids who end up at Iowa State, they just weren't good enough to come to Iowa?
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all.
Evidently, this RVZ, freshman who caught two tutties week one. Evidently, us getting him over Iowa State was like a huge thing in the recruiting world, I guess. That's what I was
thinking. That's all I know.
It helps to be 6'4". Wouldn't you like to be 6'4"?
I would love to be 6'4".
God, it'd be amazing. I'd like to be 6'1", you know?
I'm trying to think, what would my life be like? My life would probably actually be a lot different if I was 6'4".
You probably would have been a lineman with the genetics you have. Maybe not.
Am I 6'4 with this build or am I 6'4 with my brother's build?
It's a good question. I feel like genetically, if you end up 6'4, you probably are closer to your brother's build. But if you're 6'4 with that build, Jesus Christ, you might be running the country.
I'd probably be another All-American tight end for the University of Iowa.
Yeah, you'd definitely be making more money.
Yeah. Those pesky 3 inches, man.
It's just a game of inches all the time. You know, and I know what I know.
Hey, 3 inches is a lot, okay?
Yeah, I know how important 3 inches is.
You don't still have talking about football?
And Grant, I know you know too.
Hey.
All right, buddy.
Hey.
Have you recovered from Searles calling you little man?
I mean, I was over it instantly. I mean, I don't.
Is that okay?
If you want you're to the to only. You keep bringing it up like it's this big deal.
Well, I'll be real.
You're acting like he like insulted my mother on the show.
I've been shit on for being small, basically all 5 years that I played with Kevin and the rest of our friends.
And again, and you know, there's people out there saying 5'8" is actually pretty tall now.
And I've been told that by you, pretty much only you. I haven't heard it from anybody else.
And I got sources.
Okay.
It's a big, big upcoming story.
I will say that someone mistaking you for a fullback really helps with that.
Hmm.
Yeah. I heard some, we got some intel in the Discord. I'm not going to name names.
Oh.
But one of those kids we did get over a potential Iowa State at some point was Aaron Graves. He happens to lead the country in sacks right now per game at 3. He's pretty good. He's probably going to have some more. Okay. He's going to get to the quarterback for this entire season. All right. And I'm excited to watch him do it against Rocky Beck. I think Rocco's actually a pretty decent quarterback.
He is, but I mean, just a trashy name.
It's an interesting name for sure.
And for a trashy school, and it just makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Supposedly, Aaron is what? That's so sad to even say. Supposedly, Aaron's plan and like idea for his career, and I believe he's already graduated college, is that this is. He would like this to be his last season. He would like to elevate to the NFL after this year. I was really hoping we'd get one more year out of him. Maybe that was never. Well, you know,
if you start putting up 3 sacks a game, then that.
Oh, if he averages 3 sacks a game, he might be the number one pick.
He might win the Heisman if you average 3 sacks.
He might. Yeah. I don't know what the.
What are the Aaron Graves Heisman odds at?
Yeah, can we get some odds on that? Maybe we can find that in the awards winners coming up here in a minute. If I don't know what the single season sack record is for an NCAA player, but I know it's not 36. Grant, I'd love that stat. Anyway, Kev, it's the Iowa State game, rivalry game. We do have the Kinnick edge. We have, you know, I don't know what you would call that. I don't know if it's 3 points or 2 points. It's probably worth.
It's a non-zero amount of points, that's for sure.
It's not zero. Their best linebacker, possibly best defender in total, is out. Not to mention they've had problems in camp and before the season started with their linebackers. I believe they're on third strings at both positions, at both linebacker spots. Actually, yeah. They run like a 3-4, so they have – I mean
– Yeah, so I mean – Your two outside backers are going to be bigger guys, more like almost DN type. Something. Yeah. Actually, a bunch of teams run it differently.
What do you think about?
I assume it's one of their inside, or I have no idea.
I don't either. But
the guy's name, I can tell you where he's.
They're down a lot of backers, Kev, and that probably bodes well for us with good running backs and a good tight end. That's all I'm saying. Eicholt alluded to it earlier today in the podcast we recorded. He's like, I would just establish the run up the middle. And see if you can't get some tight ends that are covered by some brand new linebackers that have.
Is it McLaughlin? Is he the one who's hurt?
It's Bacon and dude. They're down to like their third strings. They played 7 linebackers trying to find somebody who would work the other day against North Dakota. So, you know, maybe we establish the run. I've heard their D line is small. small men. We're going to just run it down their throat, use some crossing tight ends, open up that longer pass game, start balling out with RVZ, Jacob Gill. We got Caleb Brown back this game. I am one of the opinion that our receiving core is going to over deliver this year.
Expectations weren't high, so I mean, it's not much to say, but yeah.
We already
beat last year's touchdown total, so
I think
it was a solid bet there, Clue.
No, I mean, even further than that, but nonetheless, that is over delivering. Do you think that, can you give any insight, if there is any, and this is just me fishing, at how their 3-4 defense would, going up against Tim Lester, maybe some more pre-snap motion, some, let's call it, for lack of a better term, better play design schematically, how the 3-4 would, how that factors into their 3-4, and if anything that we do would be better or worse against that?
No, I don't think like pre-snap motion affects a 3-4 much differently than it does a 4-3. Like, I mean, I guess it all depends. Again, you know, most teams run the same coverages out of it. It's just more a factor of what's happening in the box. And yeah, the same principles apply. It gets guys to move their eyes. Checks got to be made. D line's got to be shifted one way or another, possibly. And
can you give the average
more thinking pre-snap than you have to predict what's coming at you?
Okay.
In the formation that you're currently looking at.
Can you give me just base level, like the biggest benefit of a 3-4 versus a 4-3? Like what is Iowa State getting out of a 3-4 that they aren't getting out of a 4-3?
You can get more athletes on the field. Guys who can move better.
Yeah.
And you can also disguise a few things with what you're doing with your front seven a little bit.
Okay. Okay. And they're really, I mean, Wisconsin, I think, ran a little bit of it, but, or maybe they ran a lot of it. But
they were a 3-4 team. They still, does a new guy run it? I think they still run it, yeah.
But not, it's definitely most defenses are running a 4-3.
Not so much. I think the Big 12 is mostly 3-4s. Big 10.
Really? I suppose most teams on our schedule, I should say.
Man, I'd have to go back and remember. Let me go through our schedule real quick and see if I could tell you back in our day, but these days, let's see. All right, Illinois State ran 4 down, Iowa State 3. No idea about Troy. Minnesota.
I think they ran 4 down.
Is doing, yeah, runs a 4-3. Ohio State's a 4-3. No idea about Washington. Michigan State, 4-3. Northwestern 4-3. Wisconsin's now 3-4. Couldn't tell you UCLA. I don't know Maryland. And Nebraska runs a 3-4, I don't believe.
Mm. It'll be interesting. I think that something tells me that a 3-4 with inexperience, guys who can't. So a lot of the times when you're lining up in a 3-4, they'll walk that backer down and have him stand up kind of in the middle, like on the edge, right? He'll kind of be like a.
Yeah, so kind of like, man, I don't know if you remember anything about our defense, but like,
yeah, a little bit.
First, like a pro set, our outside backer, we call him a Leo. Most teams call him a Sam. Is on the line of scrimmage in what's called a 9 technique, so sitting on the outside shoulder of that tight end.
And how important would it be for him?
3-4 teams will do the same.
Yeah, and how important would it be for a guy like that to set an edge?
It's incredibly important.
It's like maybe his main job, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I tend to think that if they're running a 3-4 and they've got a guy in that spot, and I don't know if this is the case, but if they've got an inexperienced guy in that spot, like I've heard they're decimated at linebacker. And if they've got a guy who doesn't have a lot of experience, he's young, maybe he's a little physically not there yet, setting an edge might be an issue.
True, but, you know, they've run this defense ever since Campbell got there, and their defense has historically played pretty solid against
the offense. You're right.
And especially if, like, you are on that third-string guy. That third-string guy might be just like, you know what? I'm just going to make sure I do job number one right now and sell out setting the edge. They might get me in pass coverage a couple times. But I'm
going to set that edge.
I am not going to let the ball go outside me. It might get stretched out a little bit, so that hole might open up. They can get 3-4 yards, but it's not going to get outside me.
And you know
sometimes
what?
Sometimes you get guys in the game who's like, that's what I'm going to do. Right? You know?
If I'm Iowa State and you have Iowa with the last couple of years, even though the first week went pretty well passing, mainly in the second half, you probably try to take the route to make Iowa beat you with the passing game. Like, make them beat you through the air, because they haven't been able to pass very well the last couple of years.
Yeah, and I want to say that they've dialed up the pressure quite a bit too, which sure. You typically do, like, you know, 3-4, like, usually one of the linebackers is coming every single play.
Sure. I mean, I'd like to think that with 150 line starts that, you know, we've seen a few pressures and maybe we're okay at picking those up.
I mean, it's something we struggled with last year and something we still got to get better at. So
sure.
We've had a couple guys get cut loose last week.
So other than that, what are your general thoughts on this, Kev? You know, Iowa State kind of was a very boring game week one. Iowa maybe overperformed in the fans' eyes. What are your feelings here?
Feeling optimistic.
Better than last week?
I mean, last week I...
Better than
I
this.
I know what it's going to look like, but I was like pretty much going to chalk that one up as a win. I'm expecting a close game again. But if we see Cade dialed in, then I think the Hawks are going to do very, very well. If we can get any sort of run game going, then we're in great shape. But if we can't establish a run game and, you know, we don't have a whole lot of rhythm between Cade and the receivers and struggle to get things going on offense, then, you know, it's going to be one of the games we've seen for the last couple of years. You know, 2022, what, those games 9-6 or something like that, or 7-10.
It's been that way a few times. Yeah.
You know, last year we squeaked it out 20-13. I think half our yards come out from one run from, the Jazzy or
what? Yep. Jazz. I think Jazz had like a 63 yard run. That was,
yeah, I think that was half our yards last year. So we'll see. I think we'll get a good picture of what type of game that we are going to have about a quarter and a half in. You know, after the first 3-4 drives, I think we'll have a very good idea of what type of game we're going to be looking for.
Okay. What do you think? How much validity do you give to the KF is back? Is there any extra juice that matters on the scoreboard in the end, or is it more of just an emotional thing in the beginning? The guys are amped, maybe just a percent or two more. I think we would be thinking back. I don't know if it actually matters on the scoreboard, though. I don't even know if it's worth a point.
Maybe the one advantage I think I could think of, obviously, you know, you want to play for the head coach that, you know, you committed to play for.
Sure.
One, I mean, the boys are playing for Seth Wallace, and Seth Wallace is a beloved coach last week.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I guess one actual pure advantage is it takes something off Seth's plate where he can just focus on running the defense.
True.
So
true. I got to be honest, I'm not worried about the defense.
I mean, they got 10 returning starters on offense, man.
Hey,
they
but
got,
like you said, hey,
quarterback,
Kev, but, like you said, fuck them. Right,
and those fuckers like to pull out some tricky shit now. So.
They do. You're right.
So we're going to need to be a disciplined defense, just like always.
Our F bombs have skyrocketed in this episode.
I don't give a shit.
That's how you know it's hate week. It's rivalry week. Cool. All right. Any final thoughts? I know we're not really prediction people. I will say this: I have this weird gut feeling that I've been dealing with for about 2 days now, where it feels more like one of these outlier games where the Hawks. It's not necessarily a 40-0 win, but it's like it's never really in danger of us losing.
Well, don't go jinxing the team now.
I don't think I'm going to do it here on Wednesday night recording this podcast, Grant. I know you are that kind of guy, and I respect that kind of fandom that you have. I could see a 10, a 14 point win here. I do. And that's going to reflect in my words, winners here in a minute.
Yeah, and it's possible, but I guarantee you that 14 points is still going to feel close.
You're right. It probably will feel close than other 14-point games. All right. Grant, you have any final thoughts about the Iowa State game before we head into
any thoughts at all, because Kluber never asked you?
Oh, well, I mean, I don't know. The 2022 game was like the worst student Iowa viewing experience of my entire time there. So I have a little like spike. Was
there lightning delays and stuff? Or
well, it just downpoured at the end. And I remember sitting in the end zone of like a bunch of people had already left. And I was just sitting there with one of my friends, just soaking wet, just watching us miss a kick right over my left shoulder that would have tied the game up, and just like soaking in the rain just for like 4 minutes, just sitting there like soggy, just disgusting. Just sad. Yeah.
That's a good character builder.
I was at a wedding that weekend. I was remember being very upset about missing that game. And then after what happened to be like, I'm very glad I'm not there right now.
Yeah. But also,
Terrell Suggs. We fumbled like on the 1 yard line going in, right?
They called it a fumble. Yeah.
I'll never be over that.
One of the more controversial
calls. After a punt block too, right?
God. Yes.
Don't remind me.
Didn't we block two punts that game?
God. But no, I hate Iowa State. This is my, like, I don't know about you guys. In my opinion, Iowa State is clearly 1-1 rival for Iowa. Like, some people are more like Nebraska haters, but for me personally, Iowa State is clear number one.
Hey, and that for you personally, you take that to the grave. That's you do that.
Also, Terrell Suggs has the most sacks in a single season. I believe
how many?
I believe it was 24.
It's a lot. It's two
again. 2004. And then Derek Thomas had 27 in 1988, but that one isn't recognized for some reason.
Terrell Suggs, did he go to the U? He a U guy?
He went to Arizona State, which is where, or if he he might transfer, but that is where he recorded this.
So if Aaron Graves gets 36, he will be awarded the Heisman.
Should be.
Well, I can't wait for him to do it. It's going to be fun to watch.
He's on pace.
If he's on pace after like 3 or 4 weeks, when we get to the Big Ten slate, they are going to be blocking him with two every time. They're going to have to game plan for that.
Makes life a lot easier for other people.
So that's true. YA would just start picking him up. At this time, it's time for everybody's favorite segment.
DJ Kevin. Yeah. All I do is win, no matter what.
Got money on my mind. I was 3-0 week one.
All right, Mr. 3-0, lead us off then.
I will. I loved my Charlotte pick week one, and I'm going to shout out my brother for tipping me onto this one. I might have found it myself, but he led me this way.
Are you going to go back to the well and bet against him again this week?
Absolutely.
I had it on my list.
One of my favorite betting strategies is bet against bad teams until they prove that they can beat you.
It's a solid strategy. Huh?
So North Carolina crushed Grant's heart in week one. Was a part of a game that crushed Grant's heart.
Minnesota
really was the
North Carolina was just there.
They were the culprit, but they were part of the game. So North Carolina is back at home this week. They've got the beat up. I don't know how many guys are back or if they have any of those 9 starters I said were hurt back. I don't care. Give me North Carolina minus 22.5. I'm taking it. Prove to me, Charlotte, that you have anybody on your team that's healthy and can actually play football. North Carolina minus 22.5. I am then going to go to... Oh, where was it? I'm going to stay in the Big Ten. Well, I mean, I'm going to bet on the big game of the week. And this is Texas at Michigan.
Wow.
I actually think that Michigan isn't horrible. You know, they are the defending national champions, whether that be legitimate or not. Debatable. Texas is pretty good. Some have said that Texas could win a national championship this year. I see the over-under at 42.5. I'm going to go over. Wow. I think there's going to be points in that game. And then finally, as I alluded to earlier, I'm coming back to Iowa City. I do personally, for those that are new to the show this year, I like to include Iowa if I feel any somewhat confident in my 3 picks. And as I said, I just have this gut feeling that this game is one of those outliers that isn't a one-score game. And I think the Hawks win. I see the line at -3. By the way, the over-under is currently down to 35. So
we're getting that over this week.
I think the over might be a somewhat decent play. Give me Iowa -3 as my 3rd pick. Those are my 3.
All right, Grant.
Okay. Tough week for your boy last week, but we're going to be back. All right. I don't know.
You're due.
We're something right now. I don't know if it's due, but we're here anyway. I don't know how much you guys have dived into it, but the slate this weekend is weaker. It's not not as like thrilling as other weeks, but I'm going to start off Syracuse +2.5 versus Georgia Tech. I feel like I'm the only Kyle McCord guy in the world. Like, I don't think he's that bad. I don't understand all the hate.
We'll see.
And I think Georgia Tech might be a little inflated right now with the way Florida State's performing.
You put him on your top 25.
I know. I'm a part of the inflation. I'm a part of the inflated economy.
It's the Grantflation.
This was a trick that I'm throwing on everyone. I wanted them all to believe it so I could give out Syracuse. But yeah, 2.5. I like them in the dome as well. Illinois +5 versus Kansas. I'm gonna take Bielema here at home. I thought you were
a Kansas stan this year.
Well, I mean, I'm not wearing a Kansas shirt. I'm wearing a Big Ten shirt right now.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. I like Kansas, but hey, like I think this is a good spot for Bielema and the boys.
It's in Champaign, correct?
It is. And look, Illinois could lose by 3, and I wouldn't be mad. And Kansas wins. I want everyone to be happy. Is that so much of a crime to ask?
No, it's not.
Okay. App State +16.5 versus Clemson. I feel like every year in the first 3 weeks, App State either beats or plays a team in the ACC really close. So I'm just going to take App State +16.5. I don't know who keeps scheduling them.
I love App State.
Beautiful.
It's probably a fun school to go to.
Have you seen their field? It's beautiful.
Oh, it's gorgeous there. Yeah.
Boone, North Carolina. It's a beautiful place to be this time of year. I'm going to take Washington State as well, -1.5 versus Texas Tech. Texas Tech, a lot of injuries. And they had to, I believe it was Abilene Christian, had to miss a 2-point conversion to get Texas Tech the victory last weekend. And then Army +4 versus FAU. Army, they're in a conference now, guys. Did you guys know that? Army's
really?
In a conference now, I believe. But yeah, so I'm going to take Army +4 as well. And then here's my issue is I want to take Iowa, but this is in 2022. I took Iowa, I think at the same number, and we lost. So I'm scared to take them because
your superstition. I love it.
I'm very scared to take Iowa.
Dude, if you Grant Allen sitting in Colorado right now, take the Hawks. Dude, they are doomed. You're right.
So I don't know.
It all makes sense.
I know it's a lot. Instead, I'm just going to take Tennessee, North Carolina State over 60.
So. Okay.
I don't want to jinx the Hawks, but I do.
Who does Ole Miss play this week, and what is their over? Because
they got to cover 41 versus mid-Tennessee State, I believe.
I think that's doable, honestly.
It's very doable. I like it. It's not in my picks, though.
Okay. What is in your picks?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. We're going to go back to that Tennessee-North Carolina State game. Tennessee is -8, and I can't say this quarterback's name. He diced us up in the bowl game last year, and he's going to –
Yep.
He diced up last week, and he's going to dice up again this week.
He's doing a lot of dicing, man.
Easy. Yeah.
That guy's good with a knife.
Table, probably. A guy could dice him. Tennessee's – the guy's an extremely talented quarterback. He might be one of the better quarterbacks we see come out of the college in the next couple of years. And they've got millions of dollars they've thrown at their roster. So I think that they might roll NC State, who did not look too great versus who did they play? West Carolina or something like that last week.
I believe it was West Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't look that great. So I think Tennessee covers this 8 number versus
NC State. I like that a lot.
Going back to the Big Ten, Akron got slapped up by Ohio State last weekend, and they, you know what? Looking at the schedule, they might have thought, okay, we get to play Rutgers the next weekend, but I think Rutgers is going to slap them up a little bit this weekend too. I got Rutgers -22.5 versus Akron. Who would ever think that Rutgers would have a 22.5 number?
You're kind of rolling with my strategy there, betting against a team multiple.
Well, I actually think Rutgers is a solid team this year too.
Supposedly they're on the fast track for 8 wins.
They've got a solid O line, and their running back Manangai. He's a really good player.
What was that?
I can't say his last.
It sounds like
who's Tennessee's quarterback?
Sounds
again?
Like a disease.
I'm not even going to try to say that. I might get arrested for a hate crime trying to say that.
I am a Lovelo. Okay. Was that 2 or 3 picks?
That was two picks. I think Rutgers actually has a solid defense. They're going to go bowling this year.
Yeah.
And then, for my third pick, I'm between a couple here.
Okay.
Just give them all out.
Do I do the Grant approach and just start throwing them all out?
Because Grant threatened on taglines yesterday that he was going to give 20 picks out.
I thought about it.
Well, when Big Cat and Portnoy do like they all throw out like 30 picks.
Yeah, they do.
They're all terrible. But
well, I'm 1-4 right now, so we're either gonna make a comeback or we're gonna just steer into the skid.
You know what?
Steer into the skid.
We might be looking at like if at week three we're like 2-24, I might just see how many games I can lose.
just really run up the bad picks.
I hope you're 2-24 at one point because this is going to be the inverse Gary. I'm going to fade Gary bets.
Ooh, yeah.
I want us all to win. I want everyone to win.
I do bets. Too, Grant.
I want that us all cool. to win.
I know.
So I had Texas minus 6.5 earlier in the week. The numbers jumped up to 7.5. I think I'm gonna do this, and I'm probably gonna.
Oh, we're really struggling over there. You are.
Yeah. I've got three picks between.
Give them all out.
Give them all. Hey, give them all.
Give them all.
Why are you hiding the winners from the people?
Okay. All right. USC minus 28.5 versus Utah State.
Dude, USC looked good, huh?
USC looked good. Their defense is fresh with a bunch of transfer portal guys, and Utah State did not look good.
No,
our boy Spencer Peters threw a couple picks last week. I think he got banged up,
and he got hurt.
We're losing to Robert Morris at halftime.
Not good.
Did you guys like the helmets though? The cow helmets.
Didn't see them. To be
wasn't
honest,
great. Wasn't great. I think USC. I think they'll continue to roll this week. You know what? I guess we're giving out all of them. All right, Nebraska, Colorado. I like the under at 58.5 in this game.
Ah,
wow. Nebraska yeah. solid defense. Colorado's got some, Travis Hunter there on defense as well. First big game for the young quarterback in Nebraska. 58.5 is a decent amount of points. I'll take the under.
Not as an official pick. I'm curious, who do you think comes out on top on that one?
Probably Nebraska.
Yeah, I think Nebraska wins that one too.
Probably.
God, it would be pretty funny if Colorado won, though.
It would be.
I know what the funniest result is.
Colorado could do the funniest thing.
You know, we'll stick with those four. I did get Texas at 6.5 earlier in the week, but I'll leave it off the list at 7.5.
I hope that one hits for you. I hope that Texas scores a ton of points.
Wait, what line did you get? Are you doing 6.5?
I got 6.5 when it opened on Sunday.
Yeah, if you got it, take it. Yeah.
If you got it, Kev, that counts. Because, we're locked into recording the show on Wednesdays. If you get it, you got it.
We're on the honor system here.
I can screenshot you the bet.
We're on the honor system.
We believe you. The people at home believe you.
All right. If you're giving it to me, I'll take it. Texas minus 6.5 at the Big House. Texas has a star-studded roster, ton of talent. They are competing for a national title. Mm-hmm. Michigan didn't look great last week. They lost like 60% of their team.
Yeah.
And a head coach.
And Connor Stallions.
And they have a good defense again, but I think Texas' defense is also really good. They had some really good defensive linemen, and that offense needs to figure some stuff out. So I'll take Texas minus the touchdown.
There you go.
Did you guys see the score of Connor Stallions' first game as defensive coordinator at the high school he works at now?
Got smoked.
It was like 56-0 or something like that.
Where is he high school coaching at?
It's somewhere in Michigan. I don't know.
Guy's resume is going down the drain. I want to give a quick shout out before we end this podcast. I don't know if you guys know, but Caitlin Clark and the Fever were in action this afternoon, this evening against the LA Sparks at, I believe it's called Gainsbridge or Gainbridge Fieldhouse is where they play. Another dub. For your Indiana Fever. And Caitlin Clark's second triple-double of the year.
Wow.
Maybe let's third. 24-10-10 for Caitlin. They finish the game 93-86. Aaliyah Boston with 24-14. They clinched a playoff spot, by the way, already.
Let's go.
Something that they haven't done in like 48 years. That's exaggeration. I think it's been like 8 years. So... Shout out to the GOAT. She just is over all the expectations, all of the BS commentary out there surrounding her and all the just drama. And she just puts it all away and just goes out there and balls. I mean, I have a
Caitlin Clark stat. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
So this is most career games with 20 and 10. So 20 points, 10 assists.
Sure.
You got the most is 10. It's Courtney Vandersloot, 422 games played. Number two is Diana Taurasi, nine games with 20 and 10, 559 games played.
Sure.
Caitlin Clark has 7 in 34 games.
Jesus Christ. And there's so many of those stats out there that she's like already put up that are just like unbelievable. And this is what I'm saying. It's so impressive that with all these expectations, she still delivers. She is unbelievable.
The craziest though is you see that it was like 80% of all personal fouls. Or yeah, it's 17% of the WNBA's flagrant fouls this season have been committed against Caitlin Clark.
Correct.
And then the Chicago Sky are 80% of those flagrant
80% fouls. Of those 17%.
Gotta love women supporting other women.
Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it, Kevin? All right, that's enough for us. Walk-ons gave you our picks, gave you our thoughts on the Iowa State game. If you're going to the game this weekend, hope you enjoy it. It is a fantastic environment. The juice will be high. It's probably the best tailgating experience you get in Iowa City when Iowa State comes to town because the whole state is there. And we're glad you joined us for this preview episode. Check out the 5-10-5 show with Justin Lehman tomorrow. We talk about the in-season, how you handle guys now moving into in-season groups. How do you handle a young guy like RVZ who's now getting a ton of playing time but still needs good time in the weight room? All of those good things. If you haven't, check out the rest of the programming from this week. We'll see you next week for the recap. Have a great weekend. Hawks by a fucking milli. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.